you know, how the integration session might have been for you, or how your homework reading has gone, anything like that that you want to just, and we'll just try to keep our check-ins to about 30 seconds or less. So go ahead and get us started, Pooja.
Integration last week was really awesome. It was insightful. I like connecting with the different classmates on a smaller group level. And then as far as the homework, I'm a bit behind on the reading, but I've been traveling a lot and I'm waiting for my book to come in. So I've been trying to, that's just something I'm kind of antsy about, to be honest.
Okay.
But I'm pretty excited for the book to get here because from the presentations and things like that, it seems really applicable and interesting. So.
Great. All right. Thank you, Pooja. Linnell, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm also behind in the reading. I've been trying to switch my craft room out with our guest room. So I don't know. I think I forgot to check my syllabus. Anyway, so I'm behind.
Okay. Well, we'll get you guys caught up. And also the talk today, I think, will help a lot with our understanding of this pattern. So good. Okay. Let's go over to Lori.
Hi. I was really interested in the first chapter. What is it?
The leaving pattern.
Thank you. I'm still getting used to that.
And
that was real fascinating to read about that more in depth than what I had been used to. But then going on to the merging, it was just laid me flat.
Mm.
It really timed perfectly with my awakening to the depth of my codependency and the shock of that. And and trying to figure out what's the next step.
Yeah, good, good, good. Hopefully some insights will happen today around that.
Yes.
So, I like that you tied the word codependency into the merging pattern because I think that's really a classic name, another title actually, or component of the merging pattern. So thanks for bringing that out. Okay, Valerie, a quick check-in.
I'm behind on homework as well, and I'm kind of processing and recentering after a challenging week.
Okay. Well, thanks for being here in the face of your challenges. And hopefully today will help with those challenges. So thanks for showing up. Okay. Jill. Hi.
Hi. I'm doing pretty good. I am reading the merging pattern and I see that when I'm in merging, I'm leaving. So I can I can see I'm a little bit of both.
Yeah, I really like how you put that together. I think that's true for a lot of people. When there's a tendency to merge, then it can be really scary, and so we leave. So it's a good point. All right, and we'll talk more about that as we go through the class today. Okay, Gail.
Good morning. I had trouble reading some of the patterns. It goes on for a long time, and so I get a little confused on some of the examples, like with the leaving. It talks about leaving, but then it talks about they might be really. I don't know. I would find it a little confusing. I guess the more I read it, the more examples they give, I find it mixed.
Yeah,
drive it back.
Yeah, don't worry too much. He goes into a lot of detail in each of these chapters, right? So don't worry too much if you don't grok it. It takes quite some time, years actually, to really start to understand and be able to distinguish. And what he doesn't go into too much in the book is the actual energetic physiology of the patterns. And so that helps to distinguish it a little bit more. So what might be also helpful is to look back at his picture that's in the front of the book, and that has the energy defense of each of the patterns, and just kind of hold that as a generic feel for being able to distinguish one from the other for now. That might be helpful. Okay, so thanks for bringing out that point. Okay, Ritu.
Okay, Laura, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. I'm actually having a little bit trouble with the laptop in the sense that I can't use my earbuds. That is not working, and I have no way to repair it here. So I'm just on the speakerphone, you know, with you guys. So I had lost you in between. So what's that we are sharing?
Just a little bit about how you're doing right now and how the homework has landed or the readings landed, and anything about the integration group last week. Just a little check-in, just a brief check-in.
Yeah, so I actually started noticing the leaving pattern, you know, more than I had ever noticed, like after the last week's session. Mm-hmm. And I had a huge trouble, like I think just 2 days after the session, where I was very present to that I'm not in my body, like I'm running somewhere else, like I really had that experience, and it was at night and I was trying to sleep and I couldn't. So, and I noticed that that's what was happening. So I had to step out of the room because I'm sharing with a bunch of people the room here. So I stepped out and I did some of the grounding work that, you know, Janet led us into, and Kimberly. And so like I spent about 10-15 minutes, you know, working with my own energy and just noticing, like, you know, just trying to come back into my own body. And I noticed like a big calm after that, and I was able to sleep. So that was the experience I had. And then I'm just like, you know, noticing my own pattern, like being an objective observer. Basically, that's where I am right now with the reading pattern.
Great. I love that you applied those exercises and that they worked, because they do work when we apply them. So mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that. Okay, Jan.
I'm in the car right now, so I don't know if you can hear me okay? Is it coming through? Okay. Yeah, I am just loving everything that I'm learning this second time around. More insights and ahas. I think you can just never stop learning with this. So it's just been great.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jan. Janine.
Yeah, merging pattern. I'm fascinated with that compensated merging pattern. That was my big wow. So
good.
I can't wait to learn how to decipher and to work on the merging pattern and then deal with the compensated merging pattern. That like threw another wrench in the you know, trying to analyze all this stuff.
Yeah, that's great. The compensated merging pattern is especially what we are referring to these days as codependency. So, but a much more deep, in-depth description of it. So thank you for that, Janine. And we're going to talk about that more today. Okay, Jenny. You're still on mute.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so actually, I find myself...
Jenny, hold on just a second. Somebody's not on mute, and I think you need to mute yourself because we're getting echo. It might be the 252 phone number. Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Jenny.
Oh, I was just saying, I found myself having a little bit of every pattern. Which is, again, a little confusing, just a little bit of mixture of everything. But I do leave a lot, so that's kind of definitely a big portion of the personality. Just kind of check out, even when I'm talking to people, right? Just have a little bit hard time focusing. Yeah. And also I have hard time kind of tuning in to my own body, especially when the unhealthy emotions coming up. Generally, I don't really feel much because most of the times I'm kind of in my head. So I'm trying to make a connection and try to pay more attention to how my body feels.
Great. Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. That could be really new for a lot of people. Who else has that, Jenny, that not really noticing your body, that you're being in your body or aware of your body? That's great awareness. Just even that, to begin to notice that you're not noticing a step. That's good. Thanks for sharing that. Okay, Angelica.
Hello, good morning. Well, I unfortunately missed the integration session last weekend because I was at a really great retreat in Colorado, which I enjoyed. But So I'll just say, like, so far I've been really, I think since the course began, just my observation of myself has been heightened. And I'm kind of curious right now about the active mind that happens for me, like especially at bedtime. What kind of pattern is that from? Is that, I'm curious about that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of patterns that we could hook that up to, probably, but it's, I mean, generically we could potentially say the rigid pattern, but right now I would be open around that. So whenever we draw too much energy up into the head, especially before bed, we have trouble sleeping, right? And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more probably, but you know, this is why parents do a lot of bedtime rituals with their children, right? So they're really preparing that child for sleep. But we as adults, we do like power naps and power everything. So we think, okay, power bedtime, boom, turn off the light and go to sleep. And we don't prepare ourselves, but we really need to do that even as adults. So thanks for bringing that up. Okay, Roma. You're still on mute. There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been noticing, really making it a point to notice what's going on last couple of weeks. It's been, I have to really bring my attention to if something happens or something is said, just being present. I think that's what I've been really working on. Just Great. Being completely present to what's going on. And I really notice, like, even if it's a simple exchange, it'll come back to me like a few hours later. And then I will actually do the work of kind of digesting it and dealing with what comes up. But I notice it takes me those few hours. There's a lag. The event happens and then I'm digesting it like 5 hours later. Yeah. And I'm wondering how that affects me physically. Maybe it actually affects my actual digestion, like physically as well. And so that was one thing. The other thing I have become very aware of is that I definitely have some leaving pattern. It's a combination, I think, of three, but who knows? It might be all five.
Yeah, that's great awareness. And I really like that you're checking into your body and starting to ask that question, you know, how, when I leave energetically or psychically or mentally, what's going on with my body? How's my body responding to that? So it's a great question and a great level of awareness to start to focus on and bring to bear. So good. Okay. 941. I think that might be Amy. Is that you, Amy? On the phone? There we go.
Hi, everyone. So I had a pretty good week, and I've just been really aware of myself and my now patterns and my failing patterns. I found this week I really didn't want to do the homework just because I had to really look at what my needs were and what my needs were not. And I had write them down. So that was kind of difficult for me, but it was relieving after I got it finished, but I was a little bit late on that. And, I'm just really thankful for this class because it's given me a lot of, tools that I've been using, and I'm feeling a little bit, I'm feeling like I'm shifting into a better direction.
Great. Thank you, Amy. Thanks for sharing that. Anybody else find it difficult to do the homework? And maybe partly why I might be avoiding the homework. Yeah, it's, we're really looking at ourselves, and it takes a lot of guts to do that. So thanks for facing that and doing it anyway. Okay. Martha. Can we get you on camera, Martha? I know, Amy, we have problems for you right now with the camera, but Martha, how about you? Are we able to see you today? You're still on mute. Okay. There we go.
I can hear me. I'm in my car. So let me turn on the air conditioner. So no, I won't be able to be on Zoom today. So, yes, homework. I was finishing reading the chapter this morning because I've been in the most wonderful opportunity. I've been with my grandkids. And so talk about observing personalities and patterns. I think all of them, the ones, two that's adopted and been through a lot of trauma, sad things, been through a lot of victimization before we got it in just 8 weeks. And very, very clingy, so he's definitely part of that merging pattern. And then, of course, a five-year-old that clings to mom and an eight-year-old. And so it's all been interesting. But in looking at it for myself, I guess I'm saying I'm just searching for answers, looking at the patterns. We've only done two, but I'm still really confused because I can see some of myself and already the two of them, but I don't believe I'm a merging pattern, but I certainly attract merging people, merging pattern personalities, because people love to do things for me and mother me and take care of me. So I've had to really learn to like not take advantage of people.
Good.
You know, just to say no, and then like when I ask people if they want to do something, I have to say, but it's okay if you don't, you know, so please tell me if you're not interested in doing this, because I do a lot of volunteer work, and so, you know, you get to, I think the merging pattern is useful because you get a lot of people that are givers and do, I mean, we wouldn't have volunteer work if it weren't for merging patterns. People
that's right.
Like to give themselves. Yeah. So,
very good.
You know, I have to really, like, learn to put my boundaries there.
Good. Thank you.
It's a good observation week.
Great. Thank you, Martha. And I hope you're not the driver. I really want to discourage people from multitasking whenever you're on these calls. So if there's any way you can either, you know, pull over or maybe you're close to your destination if you are driving, to be where you can be fully engaged. And also, we're going to always do an experiential process in every one of these classes. So it's really important that you guys try to make arrangements to be free to do that, so you can get the full benefit of what can happen. All right, let's just do a quick check-in with the teachers, too. Chris, do you want to jump in for a moment?
Sure. Hi, everybody. I hope this will be quick enough. I wanted to share about an experience I had last weekend in the integration class. You know I'm a classic leaving pattern, and I kind of reflected back on an experience I had of being in the crib. And when I remembered this experience, I wasn't sure if I really had the experience or not, because what I experienced is me outside of the crib looking at myself. And, you know, the feeling was, I'm cold, nobody's going to give me a blanket, and like not having my needs met, and not having connected with my mother. So when Laura was talking in the integration class, it was like, wow, that's why I wasn't in my body, because I was like, I left. I was in the classic leaving pattern at, you know, that infant age. So that was really an interesting experience to kind of reconcile that whole thing up. So,
yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Chris. You know, it's really remarkable how so many of us don't remember our childhood at all, let alone infancy stage, you know, but when we start to connect to the sensate experience in our system, then memories can come like a flash like that. And especially when something, you know, kind of fits in or with a puzzle piece the way you shared. So thanks for sharing that. Okay, Kimberly.
I was just reflecting back on my first exposure to the merging pattern, and I had done my training out in California, so I had a whole weekend on the merging pattern, and I read the chapter. I was totally in denial of my own merging. I had no clue that it was such a dominant pattern in my life until the day I was leaving I had this experience of being very clingy with my husband. I didn't want to leave. I wanted him just to hold me and protect me. I was totally over, and I was like, what is going on? Because I had no idea that my body knew, my energy knew that I was going to go into this deep realization of a pattern that I didn't cognitively understand. So it was quite interesting to suddenly go into this 3 days, emerging into this, learning about this pattern when I was so in denial of it. So I know many of us talk about, oh, we're all the patterns. I have all, I'm confused. Which one am I? It might also be that you have no clue or you're in denial about an aspect of one of these personality styles. So it was pretty shocking to me when I went into the emerging pattern training and learned that, oh, wow, I do this. So.
That's great. That's a great point that you're bringing up. Thanks for bringing it up. And one of the things that's always interesting for me as a teacher of this work for so many years is we would always see when we were doing the live trainings, we would always see like there would be a one weekend that somebody would miss. And it would be the exact weekend that they most had that pattern because they just weren't ready to see it in themselves. And it's all subconscious. It's like, oh, I can't go because such and such came up for me. And even on these classes too, sometimes what we miss is no accident. So I'm glad you brought that up. All right. Jeanette, let's check in with you and then Lynn will go next.
Hi, everyone. Nice to see all of you. I can totally resonate, but each and everyone was saying, and I've done this class so many times, and it just amazes me how much something will pop up that I completely did not recognize or remember. And that, Chris, when you talked about the crib, that just had a flashback for me. So it's amazing that what is interesting, though, is that I have become some more in tune and in touch. My body is not going to let me forget. You know, it's going to let me know, here, this is where we're going, this is what I'm feeling, and I want you to feel into me now. So, and before, I would have just disregarded it. I would have said, oh, get out of here. You know, so it's just amazing what's been happening, especially within the last week, how much my body's speaking to me now, and now I'm really paying attention to it, so.
Thanks for bringing that up, Jeanette. So I like that because there's that learning curve, right? And kind of what you were talking about, Roma, there's a real learning curve here of, yeah, I'm starting to pay attention to my body now. Oh, how is this affecting my body when I am not when I'm not present? And how is it affecting my body when I am present? Like how is it responding? So thanks for bringing that back up. Okay, Lynn.
You know, Kimberly, I am actually very grateful you brought up the California experience because, and we were warned this and maybe we didn't share that with you as we come to each pattern. Before you even get here, you're going to start feeling things. But I made it to the first day of the last class and then I got sick. So I spent two out of those days in my hotel room. Kimberly was my roommate. And I just realized it's the rigid pattern. And I know that that rigid pattern protected me during times of extreme trauma. So thank you for that. And because this is also not the first time I've taken this, the ahas, I feel like I've been healing some of those more early traumas and getting the perspective that maybe it wasn't quite what I thought it was. I'm not sure. This is just something that has been going in my brain since the first class, that the kaleidoscope has shifted, and maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. So I'm not sure where that's taking me, but that's just where I'm at.
Thanks, Lynn. You know, as we heal, we're less identified, or you could, I don't want to necessarily say identified, but we're less at the mercy of the pattern. And so it is, in a way, like you could say, rewriting our history. It's not that our history didn't happen, but we no longer have the same results, the same trauma results, the same trauma effects, impact as a result of those traumas. So thanks for bringing that up. Okay, yeah, Lori.
Can't we, we learn from our past traumas, and then that gives us the freedom to write our future.
Correct. Yes. That's right.
In a different format.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. That's right. We have much more choice, freedom of choice for our future. Okay, so let's take a deep breath for a minute. And before we actually jump deeply into the work today, I just want to ask, I want to make a request that we all get on the call 5 minutes early rather than right at the hour or a few minutes after the hour, because it's really important that we all hear each other's sharings. And also, in case there's any technical glitches, it gives you a few minutes to manage those so that we don't lose any time together. So that's just my humble request to all of you, that you please plan to be on the call 5 minutes early rather than right on the hour or a few minutes after the hour. And also just a reminder to please plan to not multitask, to be fully present for yourself and for the group. So this pattern today, this merging pattern, the real need and the real lack of what happened in a nutshell is the ability to self-reference, meaning to go into yourself and feel and find what is really the core you, the authentic core you, what you are really thinking and feeling at any one time, and what is true for yourself, what it feels like to be fully present in your body and in yourself, and to feel complete with that, to feel full and filled up with that. So I want to ask you right now, everybody, to just close your eyes for a minute and take a couple of deep breaths. And just with that little invitation and description, just go inside and go into the area, especially around your heart center. And if it helps to put your hands over your heart center in the center of your chest, then go ahead and do that too. And just to really press in and feel yourself. You live in there. And you are not alone in there. The energy of love is omnipresent and it lives in there with you. Whether you call that love God or Christ or Krishna or Buddha or Allah or Hashem or spirit or loving grandmother, whatever you call that, it lives in there with you right now. Just imagine, even if you're pretending, that you feel that presence in there with you. You are not alone. And when you are connected to this divine aspect of yourself, it informs you in the most beautiful of ways. It guides you. You know those times when you've spoken the right words to someone and it has felt like it didn't even come from you, that you didn't even know how to say that. That was you connected to this divine place in you, this place where you are not alone. This wisdom lives inside you. It is much bigger than your intellectual mind. Feel the presence of that right now. And in just a few moments, when you open your eyes, I want to see if you can let yourself still maintain some degree of awareness of this feeling still in you, even with your eyes open. So go ahead and open your eyes and take a look around at every person who's here on the call for a moment. And Gail, if you can come a little closer to camera so we can see you, that would be great. And just see every person who's on the journey with us right now. So thank you all for being here. We're on the boat together for a great ride. Okay, so I'm going to come back to a PowerPoint now. We're going to talk through a little bit of this pattern. Okay, so here we are at the merging pattern. So just to review for a minute, what is a personality energy pattern? It's an automatic body-based reaction conditioned by past experiences to buffer to prevent feelings of overwhelm. You could say not necessarily prevent, but manage or prevent or cope with feelings of overwhelm that are not relevant to the present situation anymore. So these are body-based reactions conditioned by your past, by your childhood history. Our goal is to get out of pattern. The survival pattern distorts your perceptions and experience of reality and limits your potential. So some of you are starting to see that now. You're starting to see that, oh, I'm in a reaction, and that is not what's going on in present time. That's not my reality. Whoops, let me go back for a minute. Your response will be dictated by your pattern and take you out of present time where you now have better options, as Lori was saying, in the future, where we now create future possibilities. Okay, so the merging codependent pattern is like the honeymoon survival pattern. We believe in the honeymoon phase that life should always be like the honeymoon. We have a very false sense of an understanding of love. So as adults, we become overly responsible. Kind of Martha made this point. I always meet these people who want to take care of me, who want to do everything for me, right? Because they're attracted to this, probably to Martha, to your strength and your power. And we come in with this knowing how to meet somebody's emotional needs, how to meet all of their emotional needs. So we will feel overly responsible for them, because we won't know how to meet our own needs, but we will definitely know how to meet this other, especially significant other person's needs. And we do that because to fill the other means I will feel fulfilled myself. It's a way to fulfill myself. I cannot take energy directly into my system, so I need to merge with you so it can feed me, because I'm incapable of being able to actually directly receive. And we'll talk about why and how it is that happens in a minute. Love me, hold me, feed me. This is the theme for this pattern. When you look at this baby's, you can see like what's your emotional reaction to this baby, to this picture? And just put that in the chat if you would like for a minute. Just what's your emotional reaction to this? Do you feel like delighted by this little cutie? Do you feel like scared by the neediness? Do you want to pull away? Do you feel envy of that little baby? Do you feel sad? Do you feel like you want to scoop them up? Just put in the chat what happens for you even looking at that. And this is actually the real essential need at this stage of development. They need to be loved, they need to be held, and they need to be fed. And that's all I need, and I'll be happy. So the needs are pretty simple and basic. But if you didn't get this, this might trigger, even just looking at his little picture, this might trigger some kind of response for you. Okay. And how are you at noticing when you need love and support and nourishment and connection? Do you ask for it directly? Do you ask for it indirectly? And when you want to be sexual, when you want to be sisterly, I remember, I never could ask for, like when I was in relationship of sexual, like I never would initiate sex, not directly anyway. I did my little indirect little hints and clues and cues, but I never would just be direct and say, hey, come on, let's go screw right now. Let's have a real good, quickie, or let's have a real long romantic, I could not do it. So how are you when you need mothering, when you need to be held, when you need to be touched? How are you at asking your significant others in your life for those needs to be met? And if you want to go ahead and share some of that in the chat, you can do that too. And how are you at feeding yourself in a healthy way? How are you at reaching out to others for connection when you feel a need for connection? Do you just tolerate being lonely or being sad or getting depressed because it's too scary or difficult or challenging to reach out for support? So right now, what I want you to do is I want you to write down the names of three people that are in your life now that you know that you would love to be someone on your list for that you call upon for nourishment and support. Just write down three names that in your fantasy, you would really love for one of them to be on your list as a reach out person for support. And once you have those three names down, I want you to draw a circle around the one that you would really most like support from, like who's on the top of your list. And don't worry if it's realistic or reasonable. Nobody's going to see this list but you. And I want you to now write down a couple of things that come to your mind about what comes up for you when you think about reaching out to them. What comes up for you when you think about reaching out to this person? Okay, so let's go on now and look at this next slide. The origin of the developmental need. There was not enough love. There was not enough holding. And there was not enough nourishment. Could be either or. Could be there was not enough love, but there was plenty of holding and nourishment. Could be there was not enough there was holding and nourishment, but not enough love. There could have been plenty of nourishment, but not enough love and holding. So it could have been just one of the three that was lacking. So there's a need, right? And the need is, there's a basic need. I'm hungry. Feed me and hold me. Feed me and hold me. And if the need isn't met, then it turns into an ask and a demand. I want more. I want more. I want more. And when the demand isn't met, there's a feeling, an experience, something bad happens. When I want more and that need isn't met, you leave. You left me. And then as a result, I feel worse that you'll leave me again, anxious, alone, and empty. Now, let's just say a mom has got three kids. She can't always be right there, even two kids. Even, you know, two kids and a business to run or chores to take care of or shopping to do or laundry to do. She can't always be there. So if a soul comes in with this tendency anyway, then they're going to learn if I'm not completely fulfilled and satisfied, I'm going to develop this anxious feeling that every time you leave, it's not going to feel like quite enough for me. So those of you who are parents, keep breathing. Don't be thinking about how you screwed up your kids. Think about your own childhood. That will be the best help you can give to your kids right now. All right, so now let's look at this. This gets a little deeper here on this picture. So the request is don't leave me, right? And you can see in the eyes here already, right? The look, what's mommy going to do? Is she going to leave me? I want more. I'm not done. Don't leave me, right? You can already feel the anxiousness coming up in the eyes here. So keep breathing, ladies, keep breathing. What happens when the request isn't met? It turns into a cry. I'm sad. I want more. You've left and I'm not done yet. So the experience of the request, this is the longing. And then there's this grief. I'm sad, this sadness. I'm sad you didn't meet my need. When I'm still not responded to, that sadness turns into anger. I'm mad. You didn't come back. You didn't finish feeding me. I'm mad and I have a right to my anger. I'm mad. And you can see, right, this developmental age is so young here. This child is maybe 5 months old and he is already knows how to be mad and already knows and he's demanding, right? He's demanding, come back. I'm mad. I want you to fill me up. And then the anger turns into rage. It's my right. And he's right. It is his right. It's our right. You brought me into life. I have a right to live. It's my right. I want boobs now. Give me food now. So this rage, right, this strong survival life current starts a course through the body. But it's still not met. And so what happens when it's still not met is finally there's a surrender. You're not coming back. There's a realization. You're not coming back. You're not going to fill me. I'm alone and I'm empty. And you see, even the mouth is still open here. I'm empty. I'm not filled up and I'm alone. And finally, the last stage of that in the merging pattern is collapse. I'll shut down so that I go onto conserve mode. Survival, conserve mode. I'll shut down. I'll fall asleep. I have to go into conserve mode to survive, to manage the energy that is not being met in me, the need that is not being met in me. I'll shut down. And then we might even revert to the leaving pattern, right? I'll shut down and then I'll leave my body because I can't be here anymore because the need's not being met. Kind of like the story Chris told us, right? I'm there in the crib, not being tended to. I'm just going to leave my body. So now let's look at how it shows up as an adult, right? So here's the fascinating thing. I have this request in relationship. Don't leave me. I want more of you. We're not spending enough time together. I call you more than you call me. I give you way more than you give me. Does this sound familiar, ladies, in our codependent patterns? I'm always the one giving, giving, giving. You never give back the same amount. Don't leave me. This is my request. But you leave, and so I'm sad. I go into my grief, which is normal, right? I grieve when I lose something that I want and need and don't have. I'll cry, and I'm sad. But then if we're in pattern, what's going to come next is I'm mad. You didn't fulfill my need. You betrayed me. You left me. I'm mad at you. And not only am I mad at you, I'm enraged. You owe me because I supported you for a year. I took care of you. I paid the bills. I did all the grocery shopping. I did all the cooking. I did everything for you. I filled all your needs. You owe me. You didn't fill mine back. Is this sounding familiar, codependent ladies? Anybody relating to this who's got this tendency? And then comes the surrender. Nothing I can do about it. You left me anyway. You're not coming back. I'm alone and I'm empty. So for women who have been in or are in abusive relationships, emotionally abusive, physically abusive, this is what we will avoid at all costs. This is why women will stay in abusive relationships. So if you didn't understand, if you never understood that, this is the reason right here. Because this feeling is so horrific, because this feeling of that collapse, that of that aloneness is way harder and way scarier than any of these other previous feelings. I will at all costs give up as much of myself as I need to keep you, because this feeling is absolutely terrifying, because I will die here. And in fact, there was that survival risk at that early developmental stage. And finally is this collapse and shutdown. I'll just shut down. I'll go into a depression. You know, I'll be, alone and lonely. I cannot avoid this feeling. So are we still breathing? Yes, Lori. And I can't see all of you when I'm doing a PowerPoint. So if I don't see you ask or raise a hand, just go ahead and jump in and ask. Yeah, go ahead.
So for me, just to use as an example, when I get to surrender, I can do either shut down or leave. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense I could shut down or leave or endure. That's when I really endure, is that collapse. Is that a thing? Is that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's great that you're able to identify your pattern, right? So you'll endure that shutdown for a long, long time. And so there can be definitely crossover into those two patterns.
I think I endure until I can't do that anymore, and then I leave. I check.
Okay. Great awareness. So now the work will be for you to learn how to explore the empty place in here and really find out what lives in there, because the truth is you're not alone, but nobody's ever taught you that, because nobody ever met you there to teach you that, to reflect that for you. Okay. So the wound is this feeling like a victim. And these are the inner messages that are here. So these are the phases of feeling abandoned, feeling lonely, then depression and grief and emptiness, followed oftentimes by shame. Shame of, oh, I should know better. Why am I like this, right? And this is where the inner critic voice comes in. I'm stupid for feeling this way. I'm wrong for feeling this way, right? So shame is really a lot to do with our inner critic voice. And then neediness, we'll have shame of our neediness too. I have these needs, but they're humiliating to admit that I have. So these are some of the messages of the inner critic. Why does this always happen to me? I love her more than she loves me. I can't do it by myself. There's not enough. I'm so lonely. I disappointed her. She'll leave me. Okay. So just take a breath and see what you notice, and check out even your own posture as you're sitting with this, as you're feeling this. And also, just to notice that for yourself. Okay. So these are some of what it evokes in relationships. The very thing this wound fears most, it evokes in others, and that's what happens here, right? So this is the energy expression evoked in relationship, right? So here you can just see, this picture is so classic to me. You feel the pull, right? So we've talked, those of you who have had this work already with the push, pull, stop, and allow, you know about push, pull, stop, and allow, right? So you can feel her eyes, right? And her whole energy system in pull. This girl's on the phone. And she's feeling this energy too, but she's like, God, you know, why can't she back off? I can't stand her neediness, right? And do you still like me? Do you still need me? Are we still connected? You're mad at me. I blew it. These would be some of the messages that this one will feel. And these very messages evoke a pullback, right? Evoke a block, evoke abandonment. So can you all feel that? This is where shame of need comes up also. All right. So how do we get out of this? How do we get out of this? Well, the first step is we have to observe this dance in ourselves and in other people. One thing that could be helpful for all of you is the inner critic reflects the developmental age of the unmet need messages. So let's go back for a minute. Do you still like me? Do you still need me? Are we still connected? Can you just feel how young those messages are? There's a real basic neediness, right? If we go back to that really early, right, this picture of the love me, hold me, need me. The same feelings that this baby is feeling, love me, hold me, need me, are the same feelings that this woman is feeling. Love me, hold me, need me. Get it? Right? So feelings never age. But how the need gets met, we can grow up in how we get that need met. Because this person wants to have an adult relationship with this person. She wants to have an adult relationship with her friend, not a mother-child relationship with this friend. And so this is the difficulty. This is the challenge. Okay. So we want to start to look at our own inner critic voice. So just for a minute right now, if you want to put in the chat or just jot down for yourself, what are some of your inner critic messages, your common inner critic voice messages? What do they say? You know, you're stupid, you blew it, whatever your inner critic voice is, I want you to just jot that down for a minute or share some of them in the chat. And then see if you can identify how old are they? How old do they feel when you even think about them? And from our objective observer stance, we want to just, you could say, notice the inner critic voice. The objective observer is neutral, it's detached, it's centered, it's balanced. And it can see the inner critic from this vantage point. And it also can see the wise woman over here. Right? Even if it's not feeling this, it knows I've got a wise woman. I can make that, as Lori called it, future choice, right, from over here. I have an essential self. I am the soul. I'm not my body. I'm not even my emotions. I'm spiritual. I'm loving. And we want to bring the love of our essential self to the unmet needs of our inner critic voice, of our young, hurt, wounded self. And that's one of the steps toward the healing. Okay. So there are ways in which when we're in our wound that it gets expressed. So forms of energy releases or expressions of energy releases, they could come in leaks, energy leaks that come out through sarcasm, complaints, excessive talking, gossiping, feeling clingy, feeling pulling. These are forms of energy leaks.
Laura, are you on another slide? We're still seeing observe the dance slide.
Oh, okay. How about now? Are you with forms of energy releases now?
Not yet.
Still on observe the dance. I wonder what happened. Let me stop the share for a minute and then come back into it. Thanks for letting me know that. Okay. How about now? Are we at forms of energy releases?
Nope, not yet. It's showing a blank screen.
Okay, that's weird. All right, let me try it one more time. How about now?
No.
For me, it's just saying you're still starting to share your screen.
Okay, let me... How about now? Anything?
There we go.
Oh, you got it now?
Got it now.
Okay. Okay, good. All right, so now we're still there, forms of energy releases. Okay, great. All right, so we have sarcasm, complaints, excessive talking, gossiping, feeling clingy, feeling pulling, right? So these are ways in which we will be in defense in the merging pattern and leak our energy. Instead of looking inward, we blame. These are all, you could say, components of blame, right? Blame and need. Our energy could overflow. And these, by the way, these forms of energy releases apply to all of the five structures, not just the merging pattern. Our energy can overflow with an angry outburst of venting. It could even look positive, like a jumping for joy. These are not necessarily bad, right? This is just what we do when we're overflowing with energy. They can be in bursts, come out in bursts, like a panic attack or a disassociation, meaning leave my body, or, you know, fragment or hysteria, right? These are all energy bursts. Or we can be in flow, choosing when, how, and where to direct your energy and being able to do that. So this is what we are striving to be able to be more in flow and to be more aware of and observant of when we're having an energy release that might be unhealthy for us. Okay. So I'm just going to stop before we go into the compensated merging. I'm just going to stop the share for a minute because this has been a lot so far. So I want to just do a little check-in. How are we doing with this much so far? What are you feeling? What's coming up? Let's just do a little touch-in. I haven't had a chance to check the chat at all yet. So what are some of the things that have stood out for people? Yeah, Roma, go ahead. Unmute yourself. You need to unmute yourself.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I'm feeling like I'm dissociating. I'm yawning. I'm getting sleepy. And I totally recognize that that happened to me even last call. And it's just like getting all too much. And like I'm
really yeah. Bored. Great. Oh, great. Anybody else having that right now? Feeling like you're disassociating a bit. That's a lot. Okay. So thanks for bringing that. So let's just do something for just a minute to help with that. All right, so let's all stand up for a minute. Just take a moment to stand up and just walk in place for a minute. Feel your feet on the floor. Let your arms swing. Breathe. Let's get in our body. Let's start at the top of the head and tap the head. Just tap, 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 tap. There's a lot of information I just shared, and it's a lot of triggering information. Let's tap the face. Back of the head. Stick your face in the camera and open your eyes wide and open your fingers wide. Make a scary face. Yeah, I like we're here. Good. Come back to smacking your face. Tap your chest. Make some sound. Tap your belly. Tap your butt, tap your legs, and do a little shaking and some sounding. Let some sound out. Okay, go ahead and have a seat. Are we a little bit more here? Okay, stick your face on camera again, everybody, for a minute. Just like open the eyes wide, open the hands wide. Good. Okay. Press your hands together really hard. Lots of pressure. Pressure, pressure. Hard, 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 hard. Like an isometric, but really hard. And then shake it off. Ha. Okay. How's that? Any better? Yeah, Roma.
So, yes, that definitely helped.
Good.
But, you know, many times you can't actually stand up or go away and do that. Like you're in an exchange. So is there a shortcut?
Yes. Excuse me. I have to run to the bathroom. I'll be right back. Okay. And you go to the bathroom and you do it. Mm-hmm. And you do it. You know, there are some other things that you can do, which are the three-step trauma recovery, right? Remember, you can tap, alternate. Nobody's going to really know that you're doing that. Just tap, cross your arms and tap. Okay. Just doing that. So if you can't excuse yourself in that moment, you can just try that. Or even just squeezing your arms to compression a little bit. Nobody's going to probably notice that. To be here, I'm here in my body. And then also to use your eyes, like to really focus on listening and seeing that person. Another thing you can do that can be helpful is to repeat back in your mind what you hear them saying. So if they say, you know, yesterday I went for a walk, and then in your mind you're going, yesterday you went for a walk, all right? You're repeating back in your mind what you hear them saying, okay? So those are all little tricks you can do to help you. So great question. Thank you for bringing that up. What else is present going on right now? Yeah, Gail.
I felt like I was going through my childhood as she went through it. And so I felt really flushed and warm. Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, so, I am so glad you noticed that you felt flushed and warm. And what you're describing as discomfort. So we're going to keep being curious about the sensations that you describe as discomfort, right? Because that's the territory. That's the yellow brick road toward your healing. Okay. And if we can, I'll come back to that and maybe we can take a closer look at it. But thanks for sharing that. Anybody else feel like you're going through your childhood here? Yeah. Janine. Okay. Good. Angelica, you had a hand up?
Yeah. It's a question. I noticed that like when I'm in relationships, I become merger. But then when I'm single, everybody's perception of me is that I don't need anybody. And so how is it that I'm showing those two very polarized versions myself?
Yeah, well, we're going to get to the compensated merging pattern in just a minute, which is probably going to explain some of that. But I think for the compensated merging pattern, there's a way in which we are pretty good at hiding our needs from other people because we have shame of our needs. And so no wonder, you know, of course, you're so self-sufficient and you're so, you know, I mean, so many high-functioning women, especially, like high-functioning leaders and accomplished people are like, so then they'll get in these really screwed up relationships. Because they're really codependent. Like they're completely self-sufficient and independent, and then they get in these real codependent relationships. Anybody relate to that one? Yeah. Okay. Pooja, you had a comment or question?
I wanted to bring up that I don't really remember anything from my childhood, like my baby times at all. Like I don't know how to connect, I guess, childhood emotions. I remember like memories, but, and I kind of, maybe something that was really intense, I could pull from there, but I'm not able to connect way back to my childhood, and I don't know why that is.
Yeah. It's not necessarily a requirement that you remember anything from your childhood. Sometimes we don't have memories of our childhood because of our disassociation from it. Or because of trauma from it sometimes. But what's most important is that we work with what's going on in present time, where we feel limited or stuck. And the sensations, if a childhood memory, in my experience, if a childhood memory is needed or is helpful, it actually will come spontaneously because all of those memories are stored in our physiology. You know, Candace Pert proved that with molecules of emotion. But it's not necessary to remember things in order to heal them. Yeah, Jeanette.
I think I personally just want to share, I did not have or resonate with me being in the crib until Chris brought her story up. So that kind of tells me I've been studying this work, periodically for a long time, but I don't have a lot of memories of my childhood, but it took something like Chris mentioning in the beginning when we were doing our sharing that I just had a flashback.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that too, Jeanette. Okay.
Laura, can I just make one quick point?
Yeah.
Because so many of us here are health coaches. When we looked at that, the stages of this process of the merging pattern and we get to that emptiness place and then surrender. For many people, the technique is to try and fill that emptiness with food. So I think that it's really helpful to know that as a health coach, that sometimes people are in their pattern when they can't give up a certain food or they're having a hard time managing their eating. It could be coming from that place of that feeling empty. So I just wanted to point that out quickly because so many of us are health coaches and it's helpful to understand where it might be coming from.
That's great, Kimberly. Thanks for that. Yeah, Linnell and then Lori. Linnell, you're still on mute.
To fill the empty space, alcohol, tobacco, drugs, anything that fills it up in the form of an addiction, I think.
Yep, very, very much so. Addictions are very much related to, I find, this part of the pattern, the merging pattern, that looking to fill up the emptiness. Yeah. Lori.
Yes, I'll chime in also with that, agreeing with that. Absolutely, it was food for me. I got up to 310 and had to have surgery to get it off. And that's what I had to go through to feel my anxiety because I am such an expert at getting rid of my anxiety with food and a few other things, but that's always my first go-to.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Lori. Yeah, who else identifies with what Lori is sharing there? Anybody else using food to manage your anxiety and feel full? Yeah, okay.
Laura, I have a quick question on that. It's Pooja.
Yeah.
So how do you tell the difference between using food as like a way to cope with stress versus feeling lonely, or like if you're, it's a, as a coping mechanism for you know, one of these situations?
Yeah, it's a great question, actually. So for me, as a recovering merging pattern person, you know, I think until I began to have the experience of feeling filled up energetically through healing work, through hands-on healing work, and through also psychodynamic work, I couldn't begin to heal that on my own. We can't create what we never had, right? So one of the things that when we do work with a professional that I think is so important is to not be afraid to fill that person energetically, emotionally, give them the experience first of fullness so that they can then learn, oh, this is what it feels like. Now I can take a kinesthetic photograph of this sensation. Now it exists in my body. So in one of our trainings, in one of our workshops, some of you have experienced this already, we do this exercise I like to call the squish hug, right? Mm-hmm. Where one person's in the middle and you're getting hugged from the front and the back, right? So it's a threesome, right? We've got one person in the middle and the two people on the outside are squishing them with this big, big hug. Now, people who are in the enduring pattern hate it because they feel suffocated, but people who are in the merging pattern, they're like, oh, yum, that feels so good. Just squish me, hug me, squeeze me, right? And so then we can take that kinesthetic photograph, that kinesthetic imprint feeling of this feeling filled up, feeling held, feeling full, and further develop that inside of ourselves. Now, it's also possible to do that on your own. But I do like to provide that feeling first for clients. Okay, Janine, go ahead.
Yeah, because sometimes I feel like I need and want that hug or connection, but then when I get it, I'm resisting it.
Right, okay, so that's gonna bring us to the next step. Really important that you brought that up. Okay, so so now we're going to talk about, I'm going to get to, let's come back to this share now. Okay, can you see this, the compensated merging pattern slide? Okay, so there, the compensated merging pattern has a persona in their behavior, right? And they'll mask their need. And this is a little bit, I think, Angelica, what you may have been talking about. It may or may not fit, so you can see, but they'll mask their needs. I give to get. I give to you, but I have this subtle secret expectation that, well, I gave it to you, so you owe me. I'll tell myself I'm giving unconditionally, but really I'm holding out to see what you're going to do in response, how you're going to give back to me. So there's like a subconscious manipulation behind that giving to get. And there's also this characteristic of rescuer. You need help, I'll help you. Oh, I love helping people, I'll help you. And then I can feel how generous I am and how good I am and how great a job I did at rescuing you. They'll be overgiving. I disconnect from my core and I focus on your core. I remember I said this to a guy I was dating once. I could fill all your needs. I could fill all your needs. I knew just what he needed, and it was true. I could have. And I was so focused on what he needed and what his core was. So I'm overgiving. I'm disconnected from my core. And I'm selling out my core because he wasn't able to give me anything of what I needed, and I stayed with him anyway. So I know what you need. You need blank, you know, you need sex, or you need love, or you need, you know, advice, or you need business advice, or you need money, I'll loan you money, no problem. But I know what you need, and whatever was in that blank is what I actually secretly needed. I needed your support. I needed you to be there for me. And I never would I ever name that. And the mask, I can't feel me, I feel, and therefore I feel like a fake. So there was always this underlying part of me that felt like a phony. Because if I ever really shared what I really needed, I was for sure that the relationship would be over, because I felt so needy and so dependent and so young. I could never reveal that. That was too shame-filled. You'll feel better if you do what I say. I remember spending one time with my ex sister-in-law. I remember spending like 3 days with her, like talking to, advising her, giving her all this great advice about these problems that she kept bringing to me. And then she didn't do what I said. And I got furious with her because I invested all this time with her, giving her all my great advice, and then she didn't do it. And so I felt like betrayed, and I felt made a fool of, and I felt all these things that, you know, and it was all my issue of, why am I investing so much in telling this person what to do? And it was really all about me and my own need to feel special and important and smart and everything else. So I project my needs onto you, and I secretly expect gratitude, love, or reciprocation back. And then I'm angry or disappointed because I invested time, money, energy, and advice, and you didn't follow my advice. And there's such an arrogant defense in that, right? And I can't understand why I turn people off or repel them or push them away because of that behavior, because I'm being so generous and kind and giving. Ah, right. Okay. All right, so let's go on to the next. I'm happy to help you out. And beneath that is what I'm really feeling, which is this: you owe me. Okay, our goal is to find and relax into your own core, self-reference and self-nurture, and discover your fullness. So let's talk about the gifts now. The gifts are incredible. The gifts are because of that incredible awareness of everybody else's needs and desire to authentically help them out. There's a tremendous love, compassion, generosity, ability to connect emotionally, an ability to be nurturing of others. There's an open-heartedness that's sincere. There's non-judgmentalness, and that we'll often find ourselves as teachers, communicators, nurses, people in the helping professions are great in the merging pattern. Okay, so that was a lot. So let's take a little break now, and then we'll come back in 5 minutes, and we'll do some experiential stuff. So it's 12:13 according to my timing. Let's come back at 12:20. Okay, so take a little break.
You know, when you're doing, for instance, the dissociation, is it, we're always talking about a flow of energy. So is this a flow of energy like out of you, or is it a flow of energy? What happens with the energy when you're doing something like dissociating? Like you talked about the overflow, which I understand there's a lot of energy and it overflows as too much talking or joy or whatever. But when it's something more passive, but if it's something like shutting away, shutting out, is it...
it's like an energy leak, right? So there's a disassociation. There can be a cutoff or like a shut, could be like a shutdown, disconnect, shutdown, disassociation, shutdown, or an energy leak. You know, we leave, we feel spacey. We usually go out of our head from some part of the energy field. Like even right now, all of you could try this. If you put your hands, just kind of imagine that you have an energy bubble around your head. And as you feel that with your hands, just imagine like if you can sense a place around your head where you go out of your body, where there's what I would call a leak. So I can feel it for me right here. Usually, so oftentimes it's on one side of the head or another. But see if you can notice where there might feel like a weakness in your energy bubble that's around your head. And if you can feel that, put your hand there. And imagine that your hand is like a Band-Aid or a bandage over that leak. And just slowly bring your hand. slowly bring your hand closer and closer, slowly toward the origin of that leak until it's right up against your head. And don't worry if it feels like you're making it up or you're not sure. It doesn't matter. Your hand is smarter than you are. So just go ahead and let it seal that leak, wherever that leak might be.
Either I can't feel my energy bubble or it just feels like it's all over.
Well, that's okay. So just strengthen the whole bubble. Just start by strengthening the whole bubble. Like feel like, okay, I'm really holding my bubble. And feel the energy coming out of your hands and holding it there. But that's a way to begin. Okay. So just a couple more things I want to clarify about the compensated merging pattern. There's a feeling like you're living your persona rather than living who you really are, that you're not rooted into your core. And that the food that you take in, sort of the energy food that you take in, is about finding your value by what you give to other people rather than feeling that sense of satisfaction from within yourself. And as a result, there's like a secret hidden shame about not knowing yourself, because there's a deep feeling that you are rejectable, that you're unworthy, of a deep feeling of unworthiness, that I don't really have value. And so when we start to really look at that, there often can be a feeling of grief that comes up for us, that we have to grieve, you could say, the loss of our authentic self in order to heal it. And that's different from depression. It's really grieving the fact that I've robbed myself of myself. I've sold out to other people my value. And then that's the first step, is a real grieving for your own authentic self. And then the second step is a cry to some power greater than you, whether that power is the universe, whether it's God, whether it's Divine Mother, whether it's an angel, whatever that higher power is for you, to fill up that empty place. Okay, so that's some of what's required. All right, so I want to just do just another quick, we're almost done with this, share on this. So we're going to do an exercise in just a minute. So this is the feeling of I need, right? There's this, and somebody asked in the chat, what is that collapsed posture based in? It's based in a protection of the heart. It's a pulling in from the heart. And so there's a feeling like there's always this groping feeling coming out of our hands. So we're going to do an exercise now in just a minute. And part of what needs to happen is in the healing process of this is the learning how to receive in our system. So I think Janine was the one that was talking about that. Like, what's really hard is to actually let energy come into your system. We're so used to giving out, giving out, giving out. It's almost like we repel. So when a baby is nursing, what is it doing? It's filling up. It's suckling. It's letting that milk, that energy come in. So it's receiving, but when it gets filled up, what does the baby do? It pushes away from the mother. It turns its face away because it feels full. I don't want any more. And that's the experience that we didn't get to have, is that feeling filled up, that feeling full. Okay, so we're going to do something now. And I asked you all to have a blanket ready. So in just a minute, you're going to get that blanket and have it nearby you. And I want you, after we do this, you're going to end up lying on the floor. If you're chewing gum, I want you to spit out your gum. I don't want to have anything in your mouth or be eating anything. But what you're going to do is you're going to walk through your house. So I asked you to write down a list of needs earlier on in our session about that one person that you really wanted to have more from in your life. Remember that earlier? Okay, when I was asking about that. So I want you to write down a few needs that, that you have from that person, or could be anybody. It doesn't have to be that person, but emotional needs that you would like to have met, like I need reassurance, or I need validation, or I need to be held, or I need to be stroked, or I need to be told I'm beautiful, or I need companionship and it needs to look like this. Like I need you to initiate calling me instead of me calling you, or just jot down a few of your needs right now. What you're going to do first is you're going to, in a minute, you're going to stand up and I want you to reach your arms out like this. Really, really reaching, like you're reaching for those needs. And I want you to walk around the house for about 1 minute, just feeling and reaching and saying those needs out loud. I need you. I need you to hold me. I need you to touch me. I need you to come to me. I need you. Just say out loud, I need, and whatever's on your list. Then I want you to end up in front of a mirror somewhere in your house, in front of a mirror, reaching out. And I want you to look at yourself in the mirror and I want you to see the needs that you're asking for in your own eyes. I want you to reach out in front of the mirror and see the needs you are asking for in your own eyes. And then I want you to come back and I want you to lie down on the floor near where you can hear my voice in front of, you know, your, or nearby your computer where you can hear my voice on your blanket. Okay? So you've got 60 seconds. I want you to go do all of that right now. So by now you should be about settled into lying on the floor on your blanket. And I'd like you to just take a couple deep breaths. And close your eyes. And focus on your heart center. If you want, you can put your hands there. Focus on your heart center. And I want you to feel that there is a sacred, holy place inside you. There is a sacred, holy place inside you. Feel your hands sinking into your energy hands, sinking into that sacred holy place inside you. Just feel your energy hands sinking into that sacred, holy place inside you. And relax deeply. In that place, go into the empty place. Go into the lonely place. Go into any place that feels a lack inside you. And find the fullness that actually lives in there with you. Go into the empty place or the stuck place and find the subtle, ever so subtle energy that lives in there. You are not alone in there. Feel what's in there with you. If you still can't find it, go deeper in. Find the beauty in the emptiness. Find the subtlety of the power of love that lives in there with you. You are not alone in there. Feel the fullness that lives inside the emptiness. Feel the fullness that lives inside the emptiness. And let the words come into your mind that I am alive, I am full, I am enough. I am alive, I am full, and I am enough. I am alive, I am full, and I am enough. Breathe into that space. And feel the breath fill you up with I am alive, I am full, and I am enough. And now, ever so slowly, I want you to sit up. And I want you to bring your arms up over your head. Up over your head. And walk, take one more minute to walk through the house with your arms up over your head, feeling and saying out loud, I am full, I am alive, I am enough. And then end up in front of the mirror and see the truth of that in the mirror, in your eyes, in the mirror. I am alive, I am full, and I am enough. Walk through the house, say it out loud, and then end up in front of the mirror and say it and see it in the mirror. In your eyes, in the mirror. And go ahead and begin to do that for one more minute.
Okay. Fill the emptiness with I am alive, I am full, and I am enough. Fill the emptiness with the loving energy from the universe. Okay. So what we're going to do now is we're going to break into four small groups to just share a little bit. We'll only have about 10 minutes to do that, to share about what that experience was like. So Lynn, I'm not sure if you're back with us or not here. Okay, great. So Lynn's going to put us in small groups. And then Lynn, at 8 minutes, you can just start to bring everybody back so that we're back right in 10 minutes time. So she'll go ahead and put us in four small groups, and you'll be with one of the teaching team. And then we'll just do a little bit of sharing in a small group.
And just this as a reminder, I usually give the 60-second, you'll see a box that comes up for 60 seconds. So that's a reminder to wrap it up. You have to hit the leave meeting. So.
Great. Thank you for those reminders. Good work, Linnell.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ritu, we're getting good reception for you today. That's great. And Janine is here. I hope she got to be in a chat in a breakout room.
I don't see you, Janine.
She might be still in a breakout group somehow. Okay. Some great sharing's been going on here. Okay. So Lynn is back, so that's a good sign. It means that people are on their way back in. Okay. So some interesting shifts have happened for people just even in that little exercise. And I know we don't have a ton of time left, but I would love to, before we wrap up, let me just see if there was anything else that I need to share here. Just want to remind people that if you're not getting individual work, I am offering a three-session shift for people, or please reach out to one of your teachers or practitioners. Here is our integration session homework, which will be due on Thursday. You should have it in your syllabus, so don't worry about jotting this all down. It's in your syllabus to make a list of your emotional needs, which ones feel met or unmet. Do the exercise on page 121, radiating love, and also the pleasure loop exercise. So please keep those in mind for next class. So we've got about 10 minutes left. And I know, Lynn, we might have to lose you a couple minutes early here. But I'd love to just have some closing remarks real quick. We can each take maybe about 30 seconds to what that was like, what this session was like today, or anything that you wanted to share from that experience. So, Linnell, would you like to start us off in the big group?
Sure. Am I muted?
No, you're good.
Okay. I had that little period where I felt disconnected, but I feel more connected now, and I'm kind of getting the hang of Zoom now, so felt really good to be with folks today.
Great. Thanks, Linnell. Okay, Jenny.
Oh, just a huge discovery today. I was sharing with my group. Do you remember I said I don't know which personality pattern that's me? Now I know 100%. Compensated merging pattern.
Very good.
That's me.
Okay. Good to keep an eye out, right? That's great. And you can really take some good attention to the healing section on that, right? Thank you, Jenny. Janine, any closing remarks?
I'm really looking forward to filling the I just shared that speaking to my mother, I know I've been searching for this all my life. And now with her passing, luckily she said, I love you before she died. And that gave me kind of hope, I think, to continue with this work and now she's about boy. So that's she wasn't able to give me.
Wow, beautiful. That's great. And, you know, even when we can't find the words, we know the energy is there, right? That we know the love is there, even if we can't give language to it. So it's so nice that she got to bring it to words for you. I'm glad that you got that. Thanks for sharing that. Pooja, you're still on mute.
Okay. So in the breakout session, I finally figured out, okay, all these, what these patterns are and how to organize them in my head. So what Kimberly had said was, like, sometimes the way she evaluates what pattern she's in is by just asking herself, what is her energy doing? And so I was like, oh, okay, so now I can figure out, because I wasn't sure if I was always going to be one or, like, flip-flop between others. And the enduring pattern was the one that I resonated most with. But now I'm going to be more, and it was hard for me to, like when everyone was talking about their previous experiences of, like, how they've been the last week, I was like, I don't know how my energy's been. But now I'll be more conscious of, like, for the next week in the next class, I can pay attention to what my energy is doing.
Great. Thank you, Pooja. Okay, Jill.
Okay, I remember last week saying that I was curious about all this. I had more curiosity, and today I'm just a lot more desirous to heal it and to feel it, to be in my body more. So I will be working on feeling it more this week.
Good. Thank you for that. Angelica.
Yeah, this was a tough session today for me. Just, I think it broke open a lot of things, and yeah, kind of just gave me awareness of where I still want to work and heal, and yeah, feeling kind of like I want to go to sleep right now.
Good awareness. That's great. Yeah. And it's okay to go ahead and do that. You know, we run a lot of energy actually in these sessions. And so it's okay to give that to yourself. So thanks for sharing that. Valerie.
I'm working on feeling the emptiness and then feeling it filled. That was a new one to me. So.
Beautiful. Something I forgot to say to all of you in that exercise, so I want to share it now, is after you feel full, right, that's when that push away, right, okay, that's enough. Like, we're allowed to say, okay, that's enough for right now. Even with when we took the break to, like, oh, that was enough, I'm disassociating, or I need to shut down, or it's okay to recognize when it's enough. And also, we're teaching our body how to receive energy in. It takes a little time, sort of like when rain first falls on hard, dry earth, it takes a minute for the earth to absorb it. So when energy comes toward us, when somebody gives you anything, even if it's just a glass of water, to really receive it in, and, oh, thank you for giving me that, is a gift to you, and it's also a gift to the giver when we do that. And that's something that many of us need to learn how to be programmed to do. Like, I'll just give you an example. I had a boyfriend who used to, I was always so pissed off at him because any Valentine's Day or anything, birthday, whatever, he would never give me a present. But if we would go shopping together, we'd be at Target, he'd throw something on the conveyor belt, and I'd go, well, what is that for? You didn't want that thing. He said, no, it's for you. So I'd be like, oh, you know, he wanted to give me gifts when he wanted to give them me, not when I wanted them. And I was so rejecting of them and not appreciating when he would. I couldn't even notice when he was doing all this giving of me because I wanted it to look like how I wanted it to look. So finally I had to learn, oh, he's giving me this way. And that was so lovely when I finally was able to start to see and receive what was coming toward me and to take it in as nurturance. And this is a big problem for the emerging pattern person. We don't recognize when something or someone is giving to us. Okay, so let's go on. Ritu, closing remarks. We'll get to you, Lori, in a minute. Go ahead, Ritu, any closing comment here?
Yeah, so basically the slide that you had about the rescuer, was, I just felt like you stole like every sentence that's inside of me.
I stole all your beliefs, oh no.
You did. So like, you know, obviously very much compensated pattern. But I, you know, in our next session and even before that, I'm actually... I realized that, like, I kept on reading this word in the book, like, you know, learning how to do like adult to adult relationship. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know what it looks like, basically. So that's something that I'm like really looking forward to learn as the healing process.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. Okay. Roma, closing remarks.
So after that little session we just had, I'm just feeling, I thought of all the things I wanted to say, and then I said, let me just say it as it kind of comes to me and not really try to put any filters on it. It's like I'm feeling a lot of resistance. I just feel so much resistance that I almost feel like throwing up. And I often feel like I have this very, very exposed kind of feeling. And I'm also wondering, like I was trying to translate that also, like through the, without filters. And I don't know, is it, and of course my analytical brain is saying, okay, is it the compensated merging pattern doing something? Or is it just that I want to leave? It's like almost like a shutdown. That whole dissociation actually went into a shutdown. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm just going to sit here.
So I love that you're naming what's coming up for you and you're able to track it. That's really great. And analyzing it won't help you. So just be with the feelings of all of what you just named as best you can. And then do some reaching out for some help and support, right? Because that's what today was all about. You wrote that list of three people, and it might be a nice time to bring some of that into request for support. So thank you for that. Chris?
The experience, I had the experience of saying I'm enough, and it's like what came to my mind was I'm enough when I'm like in my higher self, then I'm enough, but you know, otherwise, yeah, I'm not enough. It's kind of coming up for me, and yeah. So also I spilled a big glass of water on the break. So it was so distracting, kind of took me right out of like all of, you know, kind of that feeling of getting deeper. So,
Yeah. Thanks, Chris, for just again, naming all of that. Lynn, before you have to dash off, do you want to say anything in closing?
I have about 10 seconds, but I really appreciate everything. And I am looking forward to this journey with curiosity. Thank you for being my walking mates.
Thank you, Lynn.
I have to go as well. I'm so sorry. We have to go to work.
Okay. Yep. Take care. Thank you, Angelica. And we'll get to everybody else. If you guys can stay on for another minute or two, we won't be long. Okay. Amy. Are you still with us, Amy? You're on mute still. All right, we'll try to come back to Amy. Lori, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wondered when you're going to have a 10-week session class just on this pattern.
Well, it's not something I've thought of before, but it's certainly an option.
It just seems like it's a feminine problem in general for everyone. On some level, this can relate to a lot of women and be very empowering. To know yourself and to be able to speak up for yourself when so many of us have been conditioned to not.
Yeah.
Be a good little girl.
Yeah.
Find your space. Stay in your box.
Right.
So done with that.
Yay.
But then because I'm done with it, boy, do I get it from my outside world. So there's that razor's edge of, oh, this is going to hurt.
Yeah, well, this is why community is really important, right? And all of us who are on this call together, I really want to encourage you to join the Transpersonal Energy Healing Facebook group and share what comes up for you in these classes, reach out to each other and connect. If there are other people who want to be part of a shared support group, you know, personal message each other and put out some requests. And, you know, we need to support each other. We can't do this on our own, really. to make the kind of transformation and healing transformation that we're working on. So thank you for sharing all of that, Lori, and naming that.
Getting the feedback from other people, seeing that other people are going through the same thing. I mean, just total, like you said, support group kind of
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah. Great. All right. Pooja.
Okay. So I just feel more aware, like self-aware. Which is a good, I think that's a good, that's a powerful place to be because I will move differently. I'll receive other people's energy differently. I'm more conscious and I feel like that's a pretty, that's a strong quality to have.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Okay, Jeanette.
compassion for myself. I mean, I think I've beaten myself up so many times over this merging pattern in the past, and I've learned to have more patience and have more compassion.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. Gail.
So I have three things. So I'm really actually relieved that I'm not unique, that I'm not absolutely crazy. So that's that feels really good that there's actual patterns and there's five types. I mean, it just is, I don't know. It feels good to know that I'm not alone in that. And then, although I don't remember much of my childhood, going through that whole thing and feeling it physically was really interesting. That I could feel all those emotions, but I don't actually remember them. And then, also I had a really hard time naming the three people. So I think that told me a lot. Even just asking, like not even having a person to ask. So I learned a lot today.
Great.
How to integrate.
Great. Thank you for that. And you got a whole bunch of people on this class right now who might be want to become part of your list. So keep that in mind. Martha.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's been kind of technically difficult.
Yeah.
Because of being in the car, but I did the exercise as much as I could in my car. But I've already done that exercise before about being in the mirror. So I've tried to make myself do that ever so often to appreciate myself because instead of saying I am enough, and I always like to change things because I'm creative, I say I'm qualified. I'm qualified to be loved. I am worthy to be loved. So, and to have my needs met, which is, taken a long time to get to that point because like the others, you know, we tend to, as mothers, tend to like overdo for people. But I do feel fulfilled, but then I am missing something in my heart because I had a child in my life, 21, he took his life. So like being around a lot of family, none of us can ever feel fulfilled because that's missing energy is what I call it now. Even though we feel his presence, but that's kind of sad sometimes. But anyway, but it's a good exercise. I'm going to try to do it when I get home to do it the full way. Mm. In a car to make sure that I've cleared all my feelings and I'm not just feeling fulfilled because I've been around so much family lately.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that and for sharing that deep personal peace for you and what it brought up for you. And I love your creative side. So keep sharing those pieces as well. So thank you, Martha.
Sure thing.
Okay. Amy, do we have you on now or are you able to share with us? I guess not. We must have lost her somehow. Did I get everybody? Ritu, did I get you? Did I get everybody for closing remarks? Ritu?
Yes. Yes, I shared.
Okay. Kimberly?
I just love being allowed in with your process and kind of being in there with you. I just find it so amazing, the awareness that we're learning about ourselves. So I love that you share with me. Thank you. Let me be part of this.
Thanks, Kimberly. Okay, did I miss anybody else? I think I got everybody now. Okay, good. Well, thank you all. Just to clarify one more thing, I think I said this, didn't I, that the homework is due before your integration session each time, not before this session. So you've got 2 weeks every time to do your homework. You should read your chapter before the masterclass session. Read whatever is the next chapter before the masterclass, and then do the actual homework for it after the masterclass before the integration session. Because that's what we'll focus our time on talking about and sharing about in the integration session. So you all did just really beautiful, very deep self-revealing work. Thank you so much for your authentic sharing, your honesty, your process. Please get support, if at all possible, while you're in this work, because it will really facilitate your healing and your transformation while you're in this course. Don't hesitate to reach out to your teachers or to people who are qualified for supporting you in this process work, and it will be exponentially even more invaluable. So thank you all so much. I'm very honored to work with all of you on your journey, and I will see you, many of you on Saturday. We'll connect on our integration sessions. Kimberly, did you have something?
Laura?
Janine, yeah. You have a question.
Janine had a question. I can stay on a few minutes, Janine, if you want to stay on.
Yeah.
But anybody else if they need to leave.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, everybody. We'll see. If you want to stay on for Janine's question, you can do that too. All right. Okay. Go ahead, Janine.
Okay. I don't know if it's between leaving pattern and emerging pattern, but I'm taught in my mentor program, like people when they cross their arms, holding themselves, that this is taken by standard people as being defensive. But I'm reflecting back, I'm reflecting back that maybe I'm holding myself in that spot to pay attention, maybe. It's not, because I don't feel like, oh, and I was pointed out that I'm being defensive. So I had to remove my arms off to appease somebody else, where in my head I'm thinking, I'm not defensive. I'm really focusing on what you're saying. And I can't wait to, am I correct?
Yeah, you're absolutely. I mean, there's so many generic models out there for body language means this or that. This model is so much deeper, honestly, than a lot of what is out there. And so I would just know that for yourself. And what's great is that if it makes somebody else more comfortable for you to not sit with your arms crossed, that's fine. You can do that. If you're getting evaluated by some supervisor, fine. Keep your arms uncrossed and cross your legs or cross your fingers or hold onto your thighs or do something else grounding for you to accommodate their need, or their belief if you need to. But there are ways you can ground yourself. And it's good to know that, that's why I was really holding myself, not because I'm insecure, because I want to be in my body. So good for you.
Yeah. And
I
have physical problems, that are going away, but it wasn't taken defensive. So I can't wait to share this with her. These are my supervisors, and they're very open and have their own training. And I hope this will enlighten them a lot.
Yeah, good. Tell them to read this book.
Oh, no, I will. They may have. I'm not sure because this is mental health. So,
yeah. My guess would be probably not. but I would suggest it to them. It might be helpful.
Thank you.
Somebody else had a hand up with Lori. Go ahead.
I did, but I can't remember now. It's all right.
Okay. Anybody else? Any last questions or comments? Such a delight to work with all of you. So if it comes back, Lori, you're welcome to email me.
Can I say, Janine, I think it's so wonderful for you to honor what's real for you and not just assuming what somebody else says must be what's happening. Right. And I think as coaches and therapists, we always want to remember that I don't know. I have clues and things come to my mind about, it might be this pattern or it might be that pattern. But really, it's about the client knowing themselves and having a sense of their own patterns and their own needs and what's happening for them. So I love that you recognize what's happening for you wasn't what the book said or wasn't what they told you it should be, but it was your experience. I love that.
Like being finger pointed out, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Thank you so much. But I feel full. I'm feeling full.
Yeah. Good.
My gut. I almost
had a
sensation of pain. And as I'm sitting here, I'm like, you know, where'd that come from? Because I haven't eaten.
How about that?
Yeah, and I feel it through my cells and my body.
Good.
I'm so intrigued by all this. It just
good, good. Good for you. All right. Thank you, everybody. Beautiful work. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.